The Ring of General Macias by Josefina Nigli. Place, just outside Mexico City. Time, a night in April 1912. The living room of General Macias' home is luxuriously furnished in the gold and ornate style of Louis XVI. In the right wall are French windows leading into the patio. Flanking these windows are low bookcases. In the back wall is right a closet door, and center a table holding a wine decanter and glasses. The left wall has a door upstage, and downstage a writing desk with a straight chair in front of it. Near the desk is an armchair. Down right is a small sofa with a table holding a lamp at the upstage end of it. There are pictures on the walls. The room looks rather stuffy and unlived in. When the curtains part, the stage is in darkness, save for the moonlight that comes through the French windows. Then the house door opens, and a young girl in negligee enters stealthily. She is carrying a lighted candle. She stands at the door a moment, listening for possible pursuit, then moves quickly across to the bookcase down right. She puts the candle on top of the bookcase and begins searching behind the books. She finally finds what she wants, a small bottle. While she is searching, the house door opens silently, and a woman, also in negligee, enters. These negligees are in the latest Parisian style. She moves silently across the room to the table by the sofa, and as the girl turns with the bottle, the woman switches on the light. The girl gives a half scream and draws back, frightened. The light reveals her to be quite young, no more than 20, a timid, dove-like creature. The woman has a queenly air, and whether she is actually beautiful or not, people think she is. She is about 32.
Raquel, what are you doing here?
What did you have hidden behind the books, Marika?
I? Nothing. Why do you think I have anything?
Give it to me.
No, no, I won't.
I demand that you give it to me.
You have no right to order me about. I'm a married woman. I...
You shouldn't be up. The doctor told you to stay in bed.
She bends over Marika and gently takes the bottle out of the girl's hand.
It was poison. I thought so.
You won't tell the priest, will you?
Suicide is a sin, Marika. A sin against God.
I know. Raquel, why do we have to have wars? Why do men have to go to war and be killed?
Men must fight for what they believe is right. It is an honorable thing to die for your country as a soldier.
How can you say that with Domingo out there fighting too? And fighting what? Men who aren't even men. Peasants. Ranch slaves. Men who shouldn't be allowed to fight.
Peasants are men, Marika. Not animals.
Men. It's always men. But how about the women? What becomes of us?
We can pray.
Yes, we can pray. And then comes the terrible news. And it's no use praying anymore. All the reason for our praying is dead. Why should I go on living with Tomas dead?
Living is a duty.
How can you be so cold, so hard? You are a cold and hard woman, Raquel. My brother worships you. He has never even looked at another woman since the first day he saw you. Does he know how cold and hard you are?
Domingo is my honored husband.
You've been married for 10 years, and I've been married for 3 months. If Domingo is killed, it won't be the same for you. You've had 10 years. I haven't anything at all.
You've had 3 months. 3 months of laughter, and now you have tears. How lucky you are. You have tears. Perhaps 5 months of tears, not more. You're only 20. In 5 months, Tomas will become just a lovely memory.
I'll remember Tomas all my life.
Of course. But he'll be distant and far away. But you're young, and the young need laughter. The young can't live on tears. And one day, in Paris or Rome or even Mexico City, you'll meet another man. You'll marry again. There will be children in your house. How lucky you are.
I'll never marry again.
You're only 20. You'll think differently when you're 28 or 9 or 30. What will you do if Domingo is killed? I shall be very proud that he died in all his courage, in all the greatness of a hero.
But you'd not weep, would you? Not you. I don't think there are any tears in you.
No, I'd not weep. I'd sit here in this empty house and wait.
Wait for what?
For the jingle of his spurs as he walks across the tiled hall. For the sound of his laughter in the patio. For the echo of his voice as he shouts to the groom to put away his horse. For the feel of his hand.
Stop it!
I'm sorry.
You do love him, don't you?
I don't think even he knows how much.
I thought that after 10 years, people slid away from love. But you and Domingo? Why, you're all he thinks about. When he's away from you, he talks about you all the time. I heard him say once that when you were out of his sight, he was like a man without eyes or ears or hands.
I know. I too know that feeling.
Then how could you let him go to war? Perhaps to be killed? How could you?
Marika, you're of the family Macias. Your family is a family of great warriors. A Macias man was with Ferdinand when the Moors were driven out of Spain. A Macias man was with Cortez when the Aztecans surrendered. Your grandfather fought in the War of Independence. Your own father was executed not 20 miles from this house by the French. Shall his son be any less brave because he loves a woman?
But Domingo loved you enough to forget that. If you had asked him, he wouldn't have gone to war. He would have stayed here with you.
No, he would not have stayed. Your brother is a man of honor, not a whining, creeping coward.
I begged Tomas not to go. I begged him.
Would you have loved him if he had stayed?
I don't know. I don't know.
There is your answer. You'd have despised him, loved and despised him. Now come, Marika. It's time for you to go to bed.
You won't tell the priest about the poison, I mean.
No, I won't tell him.
Thank you, Raquel. How good you are. How kind and good.
A moment ago I was hard and cruel. What a baby you are. Now, off to bed with you.
Aren't you coming upstairs too?
No. I haven't been sleeping very well lately. I think I'll read for a little while.
Oh, good night, Raquel. And thank you.
Good night, little one.
Marika goes out through the house door left, taking her candle with her. Raquel stares down at the bottle of poison in her hand, then puts it away in one of the small drawers of the desk. She next selects a book from the downstage case and sits on the sofa to read it. But feeling chilly, she rises and goes to the closet, back right, and takes out an Afghan. Coming back to the sofa, she makes herself comfortable with the Afghan across her knees. Suddenly, she hears a noise in the patio. She listens, then, convinced it is nothing, returns to her reading. But she hears the noise again. She goes to the patio door and peers out.
Who's there? Who's out there? Oh!
She gasps and backs into the room. Two men, or rather a man and a young boy, dressed in the white pajama suits of the Mexican peasants, with their sombreros tipped low over their faces, come into the room. Raquel draws herself up regally. Her voice is cold and commanding.
Who are you? And what do you want here?
We are hunting for the wife of General Macias.
I am Raquel Riviera de Macias.
Clito, stand guard in the patio. If you hear any suspicious noise, warn me at once.
Yes, my captain.
The man, hooking his thumbs in his belt, strolls around the room, looking it over. When he reaches the table at the back, he sees the wine. With a small bow to Raquel, he pours himself a glass of wine and drains it. He wipes his mouth with the back of his hand.
How very interesting.
What?
To be able to drink wine with that hat on.
The hat? Oh, forgive me, senora.
He flicks the brim with his fingers so that it drops off his head and dangles down his back from the neck cord.
In a military camp, one forgets one's polite manners. Would you care to join me in another glass?
Why not? It's my wine.
And very excellent wine. I would say Amontillado of the vintage of 87.
Did you learn that in a military camp?
I used to sell wines, among other things.
Oh, I'm devastated.
Andreas pulls over the armchair and makes himself comfortable in it.
You don't mind, do you?
Would it make any difference if I did?
No. The Federals are searching the streets for us, and we have to stay somewhere. But women of your class seem to expect that senseless sort of question.
Of course, I suppose I could scream.
Naturally.
My sister-in-law is upstairs asleep, and there are several servants in the back of the house, mostly men servants, very big men.
Very interesting.
He is drinking the wine in small sips with much enjoyment.
What would you do if I screamed?
Andreas, considering the request as though it were another glass of wine.
Nothing.
I'm afraid you are lying to me.
Women of your class seem to expect polite little lies.
Stop calling me woman of your class.
Forgive me.
You are one of the fighting peasants, aren't you?
I am a captain in the Revolutionary Army.
This house is completely loyal to the federal government.
I know. That's why I'm here.
And now that you are here, just what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to offer sanctuary to myself and to Clito.
Clito? Oh, your army.
I'm sorry, my captain. I just heard a noise.
Raquel stands. Andreas moves quickly to her and puts his hands on her arms from the back. Clito has turned and is peering into the patio. Then the boy relaxes.
We are still safe, my captain. It was only a rabbit.
What a magnificent army you have. So clever. I'm sure you must win many victories.
We do. And we will win the greatest victory. Remember that.
This farce has gone on long enough. Will you please take your army and climb over the patio wall with it?
I told you that we came here so that you could give us sanctuary.
My dear captain. Captain without a name.
Andres de la O, your servant.
Andreas de la O?
I am flattered you have heard of me.
Naturally. Everyone in this city has heard of you. You have a reputation for politeness, especially to women.
I see that the tales about me have lost nothing in the telling.
I can't say. I'm not interested in gossip about your type of soldier.
Then let me give you something to heighten your interest.
He suddenly takes her in his arms and kisses her. She stiffens for a moment, then remains perfectly still. He steps away from her.
Get out of here! At once!
I can understand why Macias loves you. I couldn't before, but now I can understand it.
Get out of my house!
Andreas sits on the sofa and pulls a small leather pouch out of his shirt. He pours its contents into his hand.
So cruel, Signora. And I with a present for you. Here is a holy medal. My mother gave me this medal. She died when I was 10. She was a street beggar. She died of starvation. But I wasn't there. I was in jail. I had been sentenced to 5 years in prison for stealing 5 oranges. The judge thought it was a great joke. 1 year for each orange. He laughed. He had a very loud laugh. I killed him 2 months ago. I hanged him to the telephone pole in front of his house. And I laughed. I also have a very loud laugh. I told that story to a girl the other night. And she thought it very funny. But of course, she was a peasant girl. A girl who could neither read nor write. She hadn't been born in a great house in Tabasco. She didn't have an English governess. She didn't go to school to the nuns in Paris. She didn't marry one of the richest young men in the Republic. But she thought my story very funny. Of course, she could understand it. Her brother had been whipped to death because he had run away from the plantation that owned him. Are you still angry with me, even though I have brought you a present? A very nice present from your husband.
A present? From Domingo?
I don't know him that well. I call him the General Macias.
Is he well? How does he look? He's a prisoner. Your prisoner.
Naturally. That's why I know so much about you. He talks about you constantly.
You know nothing about him. You're lying to me.
I assure you, Senora.
My captain.
What is it, Clito? Another rabbit?
No, my captain. There are soldiers at the end of the street. They are searching all the houses. They will be here soon.
Don't worry. We are quite safe here. Stay in the patio until I call you.
Yes, my captain.
You are not safe here. When those soldiers come, I shall turn you over to them.
I think not.
You can't escape from them. And they are not kind to you peasant prisoners. They have good reason not to be.
Look at this ring.
Why, it's a wedding ring.
Read the inscription inside of it. Read it.
D.M.R.R. June 2nd, 1902. Where did you get this?
General Macias gave it to me.
Not this ring. He'd never give you this ring. He's dead. You stole it from his dead finger. He's dead.
Not yet. But he will be dead if I don't return to camp safely by sunset tomorrow.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're lying to me.
This house is famous for its loyalty to the federal government. You will hide me until those soldiers get out of this district. When it is safe enough, Clito and I will leave. But if you betray me to them, your husband will be shot tomorrow evening at sunset. Do you understand?
He shakes her arm. Raquel looks dazedly at him. Clito comes to the window.
The soldiers are coming closer, my captain. They are at the next house.
Where shall we hide?
Raquel is still dazed. He gives her another little shake.
Think, woman, if you love your husband at all. Think.
I don't know. Marika upstairs. The servants in the rest of the house. I don't know.
The general has bragged to us about you. He says you are braver than most men. He says you are very clever. This is a time to be both brave and clever.
What door is that?
It's a closet. A storage closet.
We'll hide in there.
It's very small. It's not big enough for both of you.
Clito, hide yourself in there.
But my captain...
That's an order. Hide yourself.
Yes, sir.
And now, Signora, where are you going to hide me?
How did you persuade my husband to give you his ring?
That's a very long story, Signora, for which we have no time just now.
He puts the ring and medal back in the pouch and thrusts it inside his shirt.
Later, I will be glad to give you all the details. But at present, it is only necessary for you to remember that his life depends upon mine.
Yes. Yes, of course.
She loses her dazed expression and seems to grow more queenly as she takes command of the situation.
Give me your hat.
Andreas shrugs and passes it over to her. She takes it to the closet and hands it to Clito.
There is a smoking jacket hanging up in there. Hand it to me.
Clito hands her a man's velvet smoking jacket. She brings it to Andreas.
Put this on.
Such a pity my shoes are not comfortable slippers.
Sit in that chair.
My dear lady...
If I must save your life, allow me to do it in my own way. Sit down.
Andreas sits. She picks up the Afghan from the couch and throws it over his feet and legs, carefully tucking it in so that his body is covered to the waist.
If anyone speaks to you, don't answer. Don't turn your head. As far as you are concerned, there is no one in this room, not even me. Just look straight ahead of you and...
And what?
I started to say, and pray. But since you're a member of the Revolutionary Army, I don't suppose you believe in God and prayer.
My mother left me a holy medal.
Oh, yes. I remember. A very amusing story. The federal soldiers are here. If you can pray, ask God to keep Marika upstairs. She is very young and very stupid. She'll betray you before I can shut her mouth.
I'll...
Silence! Stare straight ahead of you and pray. Really? What is the meaning of this uproar?
Do not alarm yourself, Senora.
He comes into the room. He wears the uniform of a federal officer.
I am Captain Basilio Flores. At your service, Senora.
What do you mean, invading my house and making so much noise at this hour of the night?
One of them is the notorious Andres Talao. You may have heard of him, Senora.
Considering what he did to my cousin. Yes, I've heard of him.
Your cousin, Senora?
Raquel comes to Andres and puts her hand on his shoulder. He stares woodenly in front of him.
Felipe was his prisoner before the poor boy managed to escape.
Is it possible? Captain Basilio Flores, at your service?
Felipe doesn't hear you. He doesn't even know you are in the room.
It is a sad thing.
Must your men make so much noise?
The hunt must be thorough, Senora. And now, if some of my men can go through here to the rest of the house...
Why?
But I told you, Senora, we are hunting for two spies.
And do you think I have them hidden someplace? And I, the wife of General Macias?
General Macias? But I didn't know.
Now that you do know, I suggest you remove your men and their noise at once.
But, Senora, I regret. I still have to search this house.
I can assure you, Captain, that I have been sitting here all evening and no peasant spy has passed me and gone into the rest of the house.
Several rooms open off the patio, Senora. They needn't have come through here.
So, you do think I conceal spies in this house? Then search it by all means. Look under the sofa, under the table, in the drawers of the desk. And don't miss that closet, Captain. Inside that closet is hidden a very fierce and wicked spy.
Please, Senora.
Or do you prefer me to open it for you?
I am only doing my duty, Senora. You are making it very difficult.
I'm sorry. My sister-in-law is upstairs. She has just received word that her husband has been killed. They were married 3 months ago. She's only 20. I didn't want
to... Raquel! What is all that noise downstairs?
It is nothing. Go back to bed.
But I can hear men's voices in the patio.
It is only some federal soldiers hunting for two peasant spies. If she comes down here, she must not see my cousin. Felipe escaped, but her husband was killed. The doctor thinks the sight of my poor cousin might affect her mind. Do you understand?
Certainly, Senora. What a sad thing.
Raquel! I'm afraid!
She tries to push past Raquel into the room. Raquel and Flores stand between her and Andres.
Spies? In this house? Oh, Raquel!
The doctor will be very angry if you don't return to bed at once.
But those terrible men will kill us. What is the matter with you two? Why are you standing there like that?
She tries to see past them, but they both move so that she can't see Andres.
It is better that you go back to your room, Senora.
But why? Upstairs I am alone. Those terrible men will kill me. I know they will.
Don't be afraid, Senora. There are no spies in this house.
Are you sure?
Captain Flores means that no spy would dare to take refuge in the house of General Macias. Isn't that right, Captain?
Of course. All the world knows of the brave General Macias.
Now go back to bed, Marika. Please, for my sake.
You are both acting very strangely. I think you have something hidden in this room you don't want me to see.
You are quite right. Captain Flores has captured one of the spies. He is sitting in the chair behind me. He is dead. Now, will you please go upstairs?
That such a terrible thing could happen in this house.
Was it wise to tell her such a story, Senora?
Better that than the truth. Good night, Captain, and thank you.
Good night, Senora. And don't worry. Those spies won't bother you. If they were anywhere in this district, my men would have found them.
I'm sure of it.
The captain salutes her. looks toward Andreas and salutes him, then goes into the patio. He can be heard calling his men. Neither Andreas nor Raquel moves until the voices outside go away. Then Raquel staggers and nearly falls, but Andreas catches her in time.
They've gone, Clito. Bring a glass of wine, quickly.
What happened?